This is Exploring the Marketplace Podcast. I'm Sean Bowles.
And I'm Bob Hassan. And together, we're inviting you into conversation about what God is doing with entrepreneurs, influencers, and everyday career fields.
Get a fresh perspective with our commentary and stay for the main chorus from our handpicked guests who are vulnerable, transparent, and sharing how their faith affects their career in powerful ways.
If a picture's worth a thousand words, then their life story is worth a thousand sermons. Here we go. Welcome to Exploring the Marketplace. My name is Bob Hassan. I'm with my good friend, Sean Bowles. Sean, are we doing anything interesting today?
You always ask that. And you know, it's so interesting in our audience. You guys love these topics that we get to talk to these incredible guests, these incredible topics. And today we're going to be talking about something that's more and more relevant right now, which some are calling a generosity crisis. I've never heard that term before, but it's happening specifically in America, but all over the world. We'll be discussing a recent article from Vox Magazine I found that gives insights from Giving in USA, which shows fewer Americans are donating nonprofits into the poor than ever before. And if you remember, Sodom and Gomorrah failed, not because of the terrible lifestyles people are living, but because they stopped supporting the poor, the orphan, and the widow. So a total amount of giving has dropped significantly when adjusted for inflation. But then we're going to explore how, in the face of decline, Christians, especially evangelicals, are still, Bob, leading the charge in how we can continue to set the example of generosity in 2024, 2025, and beyond. And we're going to answer one of the world's biggest problems about finances, which is generosity. And in our interview today, we have Stephen Diaz, who leads this incredible community where they teach people, specifically moms, how to do online businesses with physical products. And they do it from a real kingdom mindset. And they started this right in the COVID crisis. And they're a leading company in this industry for doing this. You're going to love this story because they're doing something that not many people have even thought about, let alone would have gotten into if it wasn't for a God idea. And they had exactly that, a God idea. So this and a lot more on the show today, and I'm excited.
So Sean, what do we have here for real topics? Like, it's such an interesting, what do you mean a generosity crisis?
Well, here we go. Vox Magazine recently published this article about what's being called the generosity crisis, like I said, in America. And if you used to donate to charity, but no, you no longer do, they said you're not alone, because for the second year in a row, Giving in USA reported that fewer Americans are donating to nonprofits, and even the total amount of giving is decreasing once you factor in inflation. Fewer than half of American households are giving anything, cash or credit or anything, to charity, and a staggering 20 million fewer households than last year are participating in charitable giving, which, while it's only a 2.1% drop in giving to the poor, and it sounds small, it actually represents hundreds of millions of dollars. And they're saying it could be close to $1 billion less the poor locally or domestically, so that it no longer reaches those in need. So in the face of this, we have this huge crisis, of course, with 20 million immigrants who've come in, which we got to figure out how to take care of. The government's not going to do it correctly. Christians have to step up and people have to step up, let alone our own. One out of every five children are hungry right now in America, and let alone the world's problems, which were the biggest giving institute in America to the entire world by far. Like, I think we represent over 70% of charitable giving in the entire world just from our one little country. So in the face of this, though, evangelicals have remained the strongest giving group according to the Philanthropy Roundtable, which brings us to a crucial question. How do we as Christians respond to the giving crisis in America and the world?
Yeah, I mean, the Bible does give us clear guidance, Sean. 1 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give what he's decided in his heart and not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to give and give joyfully. It's funny, I did a study on this once because people would always have problems with a cheerful giver. Like, hey, I can barely make my, you know, household budget. How am I going to be cheerful about giving, you know, 10% away? And I looked at the etymology of the word cheerful, and of course, you know, joyful, happy, you know, but when you got down four or five definitions, it said a person with a plan.
Oh, wow.
And it made me think, like, okay, you know, people can be cheerful because they have a plan. And there's this thing about giving, you know, I love Barna, and I have looked at the Barna Institute for, you know, different studies they've had. And essentially in churches, whether it's evangelical, Protestant, charismatic, Catholic, 10% of the people give 90% of the money. And that has been that way forever. And I think, you know, it makes me think, how could people give to be blessed in a way that would change their lives. Because there's one thing I know, Sean, is generosity is the secret sauce of becoming successful. As God continues to bless you, if you're blessing God by giving back to him, he continues to bless you. And I've never found a study that they've been able to prove that. But the Bible is replete with scripture after scripture after scripture that he will bless if you're generous.
Yeah, I think about, they've done studies on joy in different cultures, and there's a documentary on joy. And one of the biggest markers of joy is generosity. People who give are the most joyful people in the world. And this has been proven over and over and over. And so if joy is directly linked to generosity, and we have a self-serving, self-focused country right now, which has a lot of special interests, that a lot of people give money to a special interest, but not to a general humanity need, then we are in a deficit. But what was beautiful about these kinds of articles I was reading is how much the evangelical community give. The evangelical and Mormon and Catholic community give 50% of all the generous donations that are going on right now. So we're responsible for 50% of the giving out of the most generous country in the world, which shows you that there's a leadership on giving, because there's a blessing on giving because we have the money to give. And so when you reverse engineer it, one of the things that there was this group called the Isaiah 58 group years ago that did a documentary, and they were studying the most powerful people groups, and they found out that the most powerful people groups wasn't like a race and it wasn't a country. It was actually a religion, which was Christianity. And then we have 50% of the world's wealth. And when you understand that, that's linked to there's something about following Jesus which creates provision and resource so that we can give more, so we can be more part of what's in the world. We can be more present in the world. And that makes total sense. I mean, I love the thought of that. And it takes the fear out of the equation. Like, if you can't outgive God, there's always more in God. God owns everything. He could always create resource or create ingenuity to create resource. And we believe that. So when you believe that, then it's an example to people who are saying, how are you living that way in times of extreme oppression when you're giving away while everyone else is hoarding?
Especially as we're talking about the economy and inflation and gas prices, are in the news, and even the price of eggs. And I know on your social commentary show you talk about this stuff, but people are facing real issues.
Yeah.
With costs that are continuing to increase. And I think one of the things that I've noticed is that people who have their eyes on whatever the issue is, and let's just say right now, it's costs increasing or consumables increasing, it gets your eyes off the Lord. And the difference between that and people who have their eyes on the Lord and on generosity, it seems to even out the noise that media and everything else is throwing at us about, you know, how bad and how scary the world is right now.
Well, and I think I agree 100%. I think it also puts you in a place where you're more present with what God's doing than what the world's doing. And you just feel the joy, like we go back into joy, or you feel the contentment of obeying God, and you know he's going to move on your behalf. You know he's going to do something back. And I think of, like, we have partners for this ministry, Bulls Ministries. We have partners, and we get to hear partner stories all the time. And one of the things I hear from partners is, like, it was a challenge to give this amount to you guys. And we never asked for certain amounts, or we're not that kind of ministry. Right. But it was a challenge, but we felt to partner our faith for this amount. And one of the partners was $1,000, and that was a huge amount for them. It came out of an inheritance from their father dying. Mm-hmm. And they felt like they were supposed to give this a small percentage of the inheritance to us as a ministry. And they just felt like, man, that was really hard for us to give because of where we're at financially and the whole thing. But then when we gave, and you right at that time, you turned a corner into social commentary, which is one of our favorite things in the world, is that Christians who will stand on the platform for conservative values. Mm-hmm. And we knew, like, we helped in our small faith to put a seed into your small faith to be able to birth a show that's doing what it's doing for the social commentary show I'm doing. And it brought back so much joy to them in the midst of all these issues that are going on. They were hearing all the time. They now had a source that they were sowing into that's actually bringing a different voice. You know, and they were like, yeah, only God is this creative, that he puts it on our heart to do one thing, and all of a sudden it creates something else. But when it comes to the poor, I know you're the same, because you guys support a lot of incredible things, orphanages in Mexico and Romania and all kinds of things around the world. And we support a lot of anti-human trafficking efforts, and have for almost my whole ministry life, about 30 years, and children at risk and these kinds of things. And there's something about those when you hit hardship and you either give what you're still giving, even though it doesn't make sense anymore, or you even double down, that, I don't know, it's, it creates a line in the sand that says, God, I'm doing this for you, and my money and my resources are tied to you, and these people are being blessed because you've blessed me, and I know you want to do more. And there's just something about that that it's almost like, I don't want to use the word testing God, but it's like, are you going to be faithful to them? Because I know you'll be faithful to me, but even more so, you're going to be faithful to them. And I've had that in my heart a few times where I've struggled financially. I'm like, wait a minute. If I lose, everyone loses. And so I know you want to bless me, God.
It makes me think about, you know, one of the ways that I hear God is if it doesn't make sense, it's the Lord. Yeah. So whether it's a business strategy, whether it's a personal matter, whatever it is, if I've been asking the Lord and I hear something that just doesn't make sense, and I have story after story after story of just radical examples of things not making sense, it's the Lord. And so it's the same principle with finances.
Yeah.
When it doesn't make sense, when your income has been cut, when you're facing some roadblocks or extra expenses, how are you going to trust God? Are you going to listen to him and continue to give, or like you said, double down? Because, you know, in our life, sometimes we've done that too, where we've given very uncomfortably because we heard the Lord and it didn't make sense. And I think God's voice sometimes is just so unique to the world that when we hear it, it's hard to obey it. But after years and years and decades of hearing that voice and understanding and building a history with God, it helps in those situations.
Well, last thing I'll say about it is, you know how I teach people how to hear from God. It's one of my passions. This is just help them. The first area I go to with most people who are intellectuals on how to hear from God is about money. Because you absolutely know it's not you, but it's God telling you to give money when it's a money issue. Like, God, is there any money you want me to give, or any resource you want to get me to give out of my household today? And if you hear something, you almost for sure know it's God, because no one wants to give anything away. Nobody wants to give, especially a large sum of money. It's like, it's not natural. So it's either conviction of sin is one of the very first ways we hear from God. We learn how to hear from God. And one of the second ways is over our resources and our finances, because most intellectuals, especially most successful people, don't really want to give. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying that's human nature. So there's almost like a grieving and having to obey God, but it also shows you, this isn't my desire, it's God's desire. So this really was a God moment. It wasn't a me moment. And I'm telling you, like, people all of a sudden look back and go, oh my gosh, all those times I gave, I see how God, I heard from God in that. And they actually see a pattern for how they've heard God, or how they can hear God in the future, which is so profound.
Yep. And one of those radical stories is in our book, Wired to Hear.
Yeah.
When you talked to that man, I love that story. You know, sometime we should sit around on this podcast and talk about how God's spoken to us in these radical ways.
Oh, it'd be such a great show. We should do that on a YouTube Live. Sorry.
Okay. Well, do we have time for a question of the week?
We got to do it. We have Harold from Facebook. We have never taken a question from Facebook before, and I found this on my Facebook, which we're locked out of, but I was looking on my Facebook and I found this question from Harold. And it's such a great question, because the answer is in what we just talked about, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's, what is your most single, most important advice you would give someone who is wealthy?
Well, we've just spent 15 minutes talking about it, but generosity. Mm-hmm. And being grateful, because the wealth that we create is from God. And I mean, we could have hubris and say, well, I had this great idea, or I'm a great businessman, or I'm a great businesswoman, or I did all this and I worked hard and I pulled my bootstraps up, blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, God has put a favor and destiny on our lives, and everything we have is from God. So the first thing I would say is be generous. I'm going to tell you a story. Years and years ago, I knew a friend who sold a business. And from the business, he netted $40 million.
Wow.
And in 3 years, the money was gone.
Oh, my gosh.
And so as he came to me 2.5 years into it, and he said, you know, I sold my business. I got $40 million. And I stopped him and I said, where did you give the $4 million? And he said, what? I said, where did you give the $4 million, the 10% tithe on the $40 million sale? And he said, that's Old Testament. And I said, So are you saying that you didn't tithe the money? He goes, no, I bought a new house. We got a private jet. We a country club, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it was all gone. And I said to him, my friend, I said, right now, however much money you have in the bank, how many assets you have, add it up and give 10% of it away as a gratitude for the Lord to what he did. But we're going bankrupt. We're going to lose everything. I said, it looks that way, but God's economy is different. And in this case, he didn't do it. He couldn't do it. He was that scarcity mentality. He was too afraid. And they ended up losing everything. Oh, and I think it's the most visible example I've ever seen of not being grateful for what God has done in your life. And I'm not saying that he was cursed. I mean, he made a lot of decisions, including not giving, but that was an amazing testimony for me.
Yeah. I mean, and I will just say, just to comment on that, is that I think when you give money away that's you're not in control of when you start making money, and you give it to places that are worthy of it, even if they end up not playing out, like if they don't steward it well or whatever else, the reality is that it ties your value system to giving God the control and the blessing and the honor for it. And whether you believe it's 10% or 40% or 100%, some people are like, everything I make is God, so he can do it. He can ask for whatever he wants. Some people are like, I don't know how to give even 10%. Whatever you do, give something out of your wealth that actually, to the point where it actually costs you something to tie your value system with God in a way that you're not, don't be on the board of the ministry that you give all the money to that you control, but actually give it somewhere that you're not in control of it. And I feel like then you start to see more fruit and you start to understand more of God's empowerment, because he'll do something with what you're not in control of that you'll be shocked at. Just like we rest. If you don't have a rhythm of rest in your life, which I would tell wealthy people too, if you don't have a rhythm of rest in your life, then you can't see how God will work for you, because you're doing all the work. You're doing everything. And so you can't see those days that you rest that you didn't do anything, how God can take that one day and do what you did in 7 days in one moment. Right. And that's who God is. And I think that we have to give God more control. And part of giving that generosity is also giving God control, not just supplying other people's needs.
That's such a good point. It's not about the money. It's about giving God the control. And, you know, the second thing I'd say to Ray Harold on Facebook is, make sure you're a good steward. Make sure you have the right wealth advisors around you and you've put all the plans in place to steward the wealth for legacy. Well, thank you so much, Ray Harold, for asking that question. And Sean, I think we're time. Like, who are we going to see? Who are we going to talk to in just a second?
This is your new friend, Stephen Diaz, the visionary entrepreneur and driving force behind the Rainmaker family. Him and his wife both, actually. But they recently earned the 148th spot in the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing privately owned companies in America. And Stephen has revolutionized e-commerce education with his unique family-first approach to business, balancing flexibility with forward-thinking strategies. He's passionate about sharing his expertise in areas like marketing and launching physical product brands, strategic outsourcing, time stewardship, and leveraging multiple income streams. But on top of that, he has a heart for the prophetic, which is hearing God's voice and witnessing God move in miraculous ways in the marketplace, is a central part of his journey. So along with his wife, Chelsea, he has authored two books, The Family Freedom Challenge, and a children's book titled The Rainmaker, How to Win When Life Gives You Rain. Stephen's here to share a wealth of knowledge of both business and faith. We can't wait to dive in with him. Let's go to Stephen. Are you ready to take your spiritual growth journey even more seriously, all while being involved in an active and engaged community online? Well, we have classes, activation groups, online Discord community, and a 12-month spiritual growth discipleship accelerator that I get to lead. They're going to help you embrace subjects like hearing God's voice, being empowered every day by the real gifts of the Holy Spirit, and developing your spiritual disciplines in a way that's both practical and very practiced. And I've invited expert ministers and all kinds of subjects alongside myself to teach you for 4 weeks classes each month. And if the subject that they're teaching each month isn't effective or is not relevant to the phase of your spiritual growth, we also take past classes and have our pastoral team facilitate totally different subjects for 4 weeks, so you have multiple class options on subjects that matter to you. I can't wait to spend 2 accelerator hours a month with you as I get to activate you, pour into you, and mentor you in practicing hearing God's voice. By the end of these 12 months together, I know you're going to have confidence in your own ability to trust God and yourself and actively speak to you. Come join us in Spiritual Growth Academy. It's going to be one of the greatest decisions you've ever made.
Well, welcome back. We're here with Stephen Diaz. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, you guys. This is gonna be a fun one.
I know. I love having people like you on the podcast because I just, you're young and you're going for it on every level. Like, you're firing all cylinders, and you and your wife have been building out this incredible organization. So I want to just start there. Like, how did this all start? Like, tell us a little bit of the journey.
Man, yeah. It's been a journey. And I feel like looking back, it's like, I couldn't have predicted this 5 years ago. You get those prophetic words sometimes. It's like 5 years from now, like, you know, and it's like, wow, this is really real. Like, 5 years ago, we could not have predicted this. We were in the wedding industry doing photography, videography. You know, you see those guys running around the camera. That was us. My wife and I, we started that business in college. We did it for 11 years, pretty much. Wow. And every weekend we were shooting weddings, and we're good at it. We loved the legacy piece of it. I think that's what drew us to that creative legacy of like, we're leaving something with this family that's going to last generations. But as we built it, right, when you're kind of the person doing the job, and like, it takes you being there to like make income, we really kind of capped out on our capacity. And we had a year we worked, I think it was like 43 weddings, and like 8 of them were in May, right? So it's like Friday, Saturday. And we didn't have editors or anything. And we really burnt out. Like, we hit that moment of like pure overextension, overwhelm. And it was actually reading a Chris Valentin book. He wrote Poverty, Riches, and Wealth. And in that book, it has this line that says, a vine overextended, it'll just start to grow sticks, right? Mm-hmm. And that like just hit us, because in that season, we had stopped bearing fruit. We were just growing sticks. We were just overextending ourselves. And that's what really put us on this journey of trimming, right? Back to the fruit, back to like, what is this core thing that we really love? And it also put us on this journey of like kind of seeking something else that was more, I think the word we were looking for at the time was like passive income. You hear that word thrown around the internet a lot. And so we went chasing the unicorn of passive income around the internet, which there's some sketchy places, right? Like, you don't want to do every passive income thing that comes down your pipeline. And, but we found a business that was more leveraged, and, it was selling physical products online. And, I mean, long story short, we started getting into that, and it replaced our wedding income. It retired us out of the wedding industry. And that's what we do now. We sell physical products, and we help moms, specifically moms, launch their first physical product online.
So, Stephen, can you explain to us what the Rainmaker family is and what the physical products are, and sort of the business around it?
Yeah, sure. Like, we really want to be a transformational place for moms. I think that's the piece that we love, is the legacy piece of who you become in the process of building a business, because it reveals all the stuff, right? Like, any crack you have in your marriage or your foundation, like, it's going to get revealed when you start talking about money, you start, you know, building a business, hitting pressure. And so we love that piece of it. Honestly, when we first started, it was just out of just being excited about the results we were seeing, right? Like, wow, we're making money. We had a moment at a wedding where we looked at the app and we had made more than we made at the wedding. And that's when we were like, oh, wow, there's something here, right? But that just like, you know, when you have something good, you start telling people about it. We taught my mom how to launch a couple products. We taught a friend. And then it was kind of just one of these things that just kind of snowballed, like friend of a friend, friend of a friend of a friend, right? Mm-hmm. And then in 2019, we met Pedro Adeo. I know you've had him on the podcast. Yeah, and he really taught us how to, hey, you got something cool here. Let's put it out to the world, right? And market this thing. And that set us up. I feel like God just, you know, he doesn't really lead you into a battle you don't already have the weapons for. And we went into 2020 with this amazing foundation, this program. And then guess what? Everyone's home. People are getting laid off.
Wow.
Amazon's taking off. Like, people are shopping online more than ever. And so we just had the foundation ready. And Rainmakers blew up in 2020 because of that. We were able to help a ton of families thrive during that season when people were kind of floundering, you know? So what Rainmakers is, we're about transformation for moms. We do it through the vehicle of business ownership. We help moms go from finding product ideas, like not knowing, like, I don't even know what to sell, right? To figuring out an idea, manufacturing it, and then launching it online in some form or fashion, whether that's through Amazon or Instagram or whatever vehicle is going to work best for her family. So that's the Rainmaker family in a nutshell. And Bob, you asked what type of products. I would say, since we serve moms, it's a lot of mom products, right? It's a lot of kids, baby, Montessori toys. Like, we also see a lot of just like home goods, you know, sourdough stuff. I mean, you name it, you know, someone's probably selling it in our community. We have about 3 products launched every day within our community at this point.
Wow, that's a lot of product. I'm sure there's some essential oils in there. You got those style hormones.
Yeah.
I would say that because I was using some today, so I'm not insulting that industry. Well, kind of take us on that God part of the journey where, I mean, that sounds pretty phenomenal that, like, you guys went from, like, opportunity right on time, especially during the COVID crisis. Talk about that, like, leaving and transitioning from one industry into this, and then also kind of being responsible to coaching and helping all these people launch. That's a big responsibility, especially when it is moms and their welfare is at stake when they're trusting you in that. So talk about some of the highs and lows of that.
Man, I mean, COVID, like, that whole season, you know, was really, I feel like, a pivot season. We called it the pandemic pivot, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what it did for us. Like, all of our weddings got canceled in 2020, right? And so we had these two things going. We had Rainmakers, we had our wedding business, and now the wedding business shuts down completely. So at that point, like, we're big believers in what we like to call coming against something in the opposite greater spirit, right? Like, you know, you got gravity, which, you know, takes things to the ground. You got lift, which can overcome gravity, right? You got light and you got dark. These things feel like opposites, but one is always greater, right? Like, light is always greater than darkness. And so in that season of scarcity, right? There was a lot of scarcity in the air during 2020. In that season of fear, like, there's a ton of fear in the air. We really leaned into, you know, I was with Bob and quoted this, like, you know, those who watch the winds, right? They're not the ones who plant. They're not the ones who harvest. This verse from Ecclesiastes. And there's a lot of people in that season and also this season watching the winds, watching the weather and saying, like, hey, it's not a good time to plant. But we learned this kind of earlier in our business journey before Rainmakers, like, that's the time. Like, that's the time you got to plant, because that's when, like, the harvest is going to be great. And so we really leaned into that. There was drama, though, like, I'll tell you, because we're not just going against, we're not just saying, hey, you know, start a business. We're saying, like, change your entire mindset of how you've done things your entire life. When you're scared, we're going to move. Like, when you're fearful, we're going to sow. Like, when you're, you know, you want to hold on to the money, we're going to release it, right? And so there were people that did that and did well. There's people that didn't and didn't do well, right? And so we really tried to lead by example. And in that season, our business is very community driven. So we would just see it, you know, in the community. Like, you just could tell, like, when, like, fear was in there. We'd actually do stuff to kind of try to break the spirit of whatever it was. So scarcity was one of the things. You remember when people were just buying all the toilet paper and stealing hand sanitizer? So we did a generosity challenge in our community. And so we're like, guys, like, this is how you're going to break this off your family. Like, you're not going to come under this thing. We're going to be over it. Go, like, you know, ninja swipe your credit card in front of someone, you know, who's in line at Starbucks, right? Or go, like, buy toilet paper and give it away and, like, come against this thing in this opposite greater spirit. And then it breaks it off of you and you're not agreeing with that thing anymore. So we're big believers in that, not just in business, but in how we show up in our family, our marriage, in relationships. And that was the thing that really got us through that season.
Stephen, so what I'm understanding is you have this incredible online presence. I'm assuming within your community, it's a lot of Zoom meetings, and I can tell by your personality that you're firing up the troops and keeping everybody excited. And how do you deal with, so a mom launches a business or launches a product and all of a sudden it's not working well. Mm. And it's one thing for you and your wife in your business when maybe there's cash flow problems or problems within the business, but now you have all these different people within your community that you're essentially coaching and saying, hey, it's going to be okay. You know, take courage. How do you deal with that?
Man, I think the biggest part is, one, doing it in community, right? And we've seen this is all stuff we've learned from our own lives. Entrepreneurship, running a business, is not a straight line up. It's a roller coaster of emotions and fears and faith and all the things. And so for us, that's what our saving grace has been, is, like, being around other people who remind us who we are, remind us of God's promises, like, bring us back. And so we say that a lot in our community, like, some of you are at the valley right now and you're freaking out. And some of you are at the top of the mountain. And we created this community so that people at the top of the mountain can reach a hand down and pull people from the valley up. Because a couple of weeks from now, you could be flip-flopped. And so we really train that into the community. The other thing we do a lot is we look at the data, like, even how we launch products on Amazon, it is kind of nerdy. And we look at what's not working and we fix that, right? And so even in our community, we look at what's not working, right? Oh, people are getting into more debt than they should be. Let's get on interviews with those people. Let's figure out where they're going off. Like, let's add to the curriculum. Let's add to the resources to help them in those areas. So, you know, our coaching company is not perfect, right? Yeah. I don't believe any business is. And, you know, you have super amazing success stories. You also have people that don't like us. And I'll be totally transparent with that. Yeah. But we are committed to serving them at the highest level we can, creating an ecosystem that does that. And a lot of that comes from actually hearing the hard feedback and then like pivoting, changing, right? And like going, what's the truth here? Even if it was, if it was wrapped in a bunch of other stuff that's hard to hear, what's the thing of truth that we're pulling out? And we've done a lot of that in the last 2 years, specifically just really leveling things up in the program. Because when we first started, it was just like we were doing something, we were a couple chapters ahead, right? And we're just like, hey, we'll just teach you about the couple chapters we just learned. Like, we weren't experts, we were just a couple chapters ahead. And so we learned a lot through trial and error. And so, you know, but guys, I just lost $7,000 today. Don't do what I did, right? And like, we were literally just in the moment. Now we've built a system where we have, you know, certified coaches, and we're bringing people from outside the community. And it wasn't like that at the very beginning. We were very much just operating off of just faith and hope and sharing what we learned, and we still are, but like now it's definitely a lot more robust than those early days.
Can you talk about, because technology changes so fast, so like Amazon can change an algorithm that causes sales to totally decrease. How has it been for you guys as far as taking that jump into even training other people and then having to be kind of on the cutting edge of everything that's changing all the time? What's that journey like for you guys? I mean, were you technologically savvy before this all started, or was this something that you've had to learn? You're teaching the average person to do it. So what's that like?
I'm definitely like the nerdy one in the relationship. Chelsea and I do this together, and we have a team, but I definitely love digging into the tech stuff. But the reason we chose moms specifically for this program, like, we're parents, we love that legacy piece. But it was actually a conversation with Pedro. When we started our company, it was kind of for anyone. It was like anyone who wanted to listen. Like, we would just be like, hey, like, we're doing this thing. Yeah. If you want to learn it, we can teach you. But he really encouraged us, man, you got to find your niche that you can really serve those people at a high level. Because if you're trying to make it for everyone, right, it's kind of for no one. And so when we looked at our case studies, the people that were really winning, the fruit, right, we trimmed down to the fruit. And that was moms. Like, moms were the ones winning. So we started making everything for moms, like shorter lessons, right? We have an AI bot that just, like, you know, transcribes everything, and you can ask it questions like, how can we save them time? Like, we know they're overwhelmed. We know, you know, time is limited. We know they got us, you know, we want to be with their kids, and they might be already working a job and trying to do this on the side. And so that's how we've kind of designed it, is for that avatar. And yeah, I would say as far as like things changing, that's big part of the mindset, right, of owning a business. And so we really, when we're teaching someone, bringing something along the journey, I think expectations is so important, right? Like, this isn't like, we talk about this because Amazon is a roller coaster, online is a roller coaster, entrepreneurship is a roller coaster. You know, whenever something comes out, like, Amazon changes something, right? This happens every 6 months.
Every day.
There will be people, right? And this is like, I mean, when something happens in the world, like, there will be people that freak out, and there'll be people that figure it out, right? And so we have just committed to figuring it out. One of the big things we're known for in our community is the how can I mindset. We just say, like, we never say I can't. We just always say, how can I? Mm-hmm. And it's just this solutionary mindset of, like, there's no problems, there's only possibilities. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people take these updates and these headlines and these news articles, and they just spew fear and death, and they just spiral out. And so we're like, how could this be for us, not against us? So we just constantly have that mindset. And then we have to remind the community, especially new people. They see something come out, some big algorithm change, something, they're freaking out. They're seeing other people freaking out about it. So they freak out, they post in the community. And then sometimes we have to remind them, hey guys, we've been through this. Mm. And you just remind them of, like, you know, how we figured it out over the years, and like, we're in it together, right? And so I think that's a big piece of it for any entrepreneur, is like reminding, that's what we've done a lot, just remind ourselves of our history, remind ourselves of God's faithfulness through it all, and just knowing, like, we're going to make it through this one, you know, even though it feels like we're not, we're going to make it through. And we've been having to do that constantly.
Stephen, talk to us. So you said earlier, entrepreneurship isn't a straight line, but it's a roller coaster. So talk to us about in your process, what has happened that has caused on some of the valley of the shadow of death moments for you? What were those, and how did God give a miracle to take you out of them?
Yeah, I would say the biggest one that we encounter is financial. I believe a lot of times that like what you're called to, what you're going after, is oftentimes the thing you have to conquer at higher levels.
Right.
And so for us, it's been financial, like consistently. And I feel like God is so good. Like, I feel like I learned this from you, Sean, that like, you know, a lot of the prophetic is pattern recognition sometimes. And like, God will do things where you just like, you know, it's like a little God wink. And for us, it's been anything related to, this is not the only situation, but it's just one of those things God uses to be like, hey, this is one of those moments. It's always been related to fives for us. So it started when we were in the wedding industry and we had a very tight season, like winter season. Finances got super tight. And I remember like just, you know, in that season, it was like, I mean, we had couple thousand dollars in the bank, maybe. We're newlyweds in this small bedroom, one bedroom apartment. And we kind of started getting to scarcity mode, right? It was like, dang, the money's really low. You could like almost feel the intensity of the scarcity in your body. Like it was like anxiety, right? And we started acting out in scarcity ways, right? We started emailing people and just like, oh no, like, you know, can you hire us? Like emailing all the wedding coordinators and things like that. And me and Chelsea had this moment of kind of realizing, okay, this is actually not who we want to be. And we want to really not just like believe what we believe, but do what we believe. And one of those things we had said about ourselves, like, and we knew as part of our family lineage, is being a family of generosity. And kind of coming back to that, like breaking the power of something, money was kind of having the power over us at that season where we were acting out in scarcity. And so we actually went to the bank and pulled out the money that we had remaining, and we gave away $500 to a bunch of people. It ended up being about $3,000. And we share that story because that was really where I feel like we stepped into prosperity. Like right in that moment was like we had broken the power of money in that moment, and we were no longer asking money permission, right? To say like, can we do this thing? Can we act this way? Like we just started to do what we said we believed. Wow. And that, I think, like there wasn't an immediate like financial, oh, we got a check in the mail or something like that. But it just like, it was super scary. As soon as we did it, we just felt like the peace come back. And so that was like our first $500 story. I can tell you guys, like I could go for an hour. Like there's been $5,000, $50,000, $500,000, same thing.
Wow.
Multiple times. And I believe it's always like a test. I think this is probably a Pedroism. Like God doesn't test you to punish you, test you to promote you, right? That might be a Bill Johnson thing, but like we like see this with that 50K thing. Whenever the 50 comes up, 50,000, 5,000, we know it's a test. And then sometimes it's come down to integrity. Are you going to be integrous in this thing? Are you going to take the step of faith again in this thing? And like every time we've done it, it's always worked out. It's always worked out. It's always been abundantly more. Like it's always been usually sometimes less than we think. Like we're committing to this big number and then ends up being less. God provided somehow. And so that for me is like that God wink, you know, where I just know, like, it's just so obvious sometimes. It's like, oh shoot, this wasn't about the money. And it has to, usually we're getting afraid. We're freaking out. And then we see that number and we're like, oh my gosh, this is another one of those promotion moments. Like we're going to take it. We're going to go through it. We're going to have faith. And then we see an increase. Right. And I believe like, I don't know. I think this is one of the biggest things that has gotten us to where we are today is just being stewards of those moments.
Wow. It's so powerful. Now you have, how many kids do you have?
We have 2 kids, 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Nice. Cause you're going to bring them into this, which is so awesome. Did you see like when you guys had kids, cause it's within the starting this business, did you feel kind of that there's more because you have the legacy of children now? Did it give you more faith when you were having like that
theme? Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. And no, I tell that to everyone. I'm like, man, kids bring increase. Right. Yeah. So we had our first son in late 2019. And like months later, our business went from 6 figures to 7 figures. Wow. Like insane. And I believe like it, I think what it did for us, like, of course, there's like fatherhood and legacy and all these things, but I think it forced us to get more, be better stewards of our time, right? Wow. Because like we run a business preaching time freedom. Like we're building businesses so we can have more time with our family. That's the whole reason we got into this business was we were dreaming about starting a family, but didn't see that dream become a reality as a wedding photographer. We were spending every Saturday, Sunday, traveling, all this stuff. This business was the thing that helped us have the time freedom to be like, man, we could go to farmers markets and take a leisurely Saturday and take off whenever and wrestle with the boys, you know, in the middle of the day. Like that's why we built this thing. And so once we had our first son, one, it clarified, I think the mission of like why we're helping parents. We believe like, we believe in family ultimately is really what we're going after. We're kind of going through the angle of moms. I think we do see a lot of the whole family impacted by what we do, but we saw like, man, this is why we're doing this. If we can free a mom up, if she can like, you know, create some income without having to go get a second job, yeah, like, that's amazing. And that legacy is huge and it unifies the family. But two, we saw like an optimization of our time where we were like just so much more intentional building our team, you know, like we wouldn't have been able to scale the business if we didn't like build the team. Right. And we learned that through having less time. Right.
Yeah. That's Stephen. That's it's so cool. Well, we've loved hearing this and the time went too fast. How do people get a hold of Rainmaker Family? And our moms that are listening probably can't wait. And special bonus, in probably a couple months, we're going to have you and your wife on. You guys have written books and your better half will be on and we can't wait to hear the other half of the story.
Yeah, man. Yeah, she's awesome. And she's also one of the reasons the business took off, because we were kind of doing two separate things, right? With, you know, the weddings, and I was kind of doing Rainmakers on the side. When we came together, that was truly accelerant. So excited to have her on. As far as figuring out more about the Rainmakers, I think Instagram's honestly our preferred platform. So just look up the Rainmaker Family on Instagram. You know, we kind of run a more covert business. We bring people in with what they want, which is make money. And then we give them what they need on the back end, which is let's talk about your whole family. Let's talk about deeper things. My personal Instagram is where I definitely go more Holy Spirit prophetic. And that's Steez Diaz, STEEZDIAZ. So one of those two. If you want to connect with me personally, Steez Diaz, I answer the DMs over there. The Rainmaker Family, we got a whole team running that thing. But that'll give you more info about that.
We're so glad you were here. I know many people are going to try and connect to you. And so get ready. Get ready. You guys get ready to talk to Steve and his wife. I know that so many of you are looking for those side incomes, especially you moms out there. And so this is a great opportunity, I think, for you. This is something that I think we've been talking about, a side hustle and also creating new streams of income that would help you to thrive in a time like 2024, 2025, when we are hearing that even greater recession is coming to us. We don't have to live in that recession. We can live above it by just following the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that. We want to hear from you guys. Make sure to go to bowlsministries.com. You can ask a question to Bob and I will answer on the show. We're so looking forward to hearing from you. Or follow us on our mailing list or at Bowls Ministries so we can stay in touch with you. And we'll see you next time on Exploring the Marketplace. Well, that's the end of another Exploring the Marketplace podcast, where we bring everyday people who are seeing their faith affect their career in powerful ways. Make sure to hit like on this video, hit the subscribe button and notifications so you don't miss an episode. Also, I want to hear from you, so let's talk in the comment section. See you next time.